Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
That's pretty much what we do.
100% of what we do in this context, in this arena.
Dan?
The Sphere of the Immortals.
This may be our last show of 2017.
It's possible. We don't promise anything. There might be another show down the road, but this might be it.
If you were to describe our podcast and the hook to it over the past year, what would you describe it
as? I would say that it is a tale of one man's hair growing really long.
That's true.
That's it. That's
I
basically
agree.
It.
That's it. That's it.
That's
what
we
do. That's
what the podcast's about. Right. That guy whose hair grows really long knows a lot about Alex Jones.
And the guy who just trimmed his beard does not know anything about Alex Jones.
Both of us have hair-related things to discuss.
What? If you're going to pull hair, I'm going to pull hair.
Why not?
That's what we're going to do.
So, guys, like I said, this may be the last episode of the year. Might not be. Either way, end of the year is coming up. And if you want to support the show, please do. So, I'll be honest.
Just in case. In case we don't physically have it next year.
Right. Hey, happy holidays and Merry Christmas to y'all. If you want to give us a gift, go ahead. KnowledgeFight.com is our website. You can click support the show. All of you who already have done that and are doing it, we appreciate it so much. But we really want to get this thing.
You know what? You know what I've heard? Cam girls have.
Oh, God damn it.
Don't they have like gift registries?
Yeah.
And people just send them? That's what we should do.
I don't think it would help.
But it would just be like normal food items.
Send me a sandwich.
Instead of send me some lingerie if you want me to wear it, it's like. I could use apples.
One of the great struggles of my life is I really love doing this.
Is that you've always wanted to be a cam girl?
Well, I'm gonna get to that. No, it's that I love doing this, and I don't want to not be doing this, but I realize that conceivably jacking off on cam, I might make more money.
You
than
might
this.
Make more money than
it's
this.
Possible.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a bummer,
dude. You're so hairy. You've got a whole subsection of the internet that's all about you.
I got a niche.
Oh man. Yeah, that's gonna cause a little bit of a break in the action right there. Let's all just sit and absorb what it was we just said.
I got distracted by Dr. Poodle Papa on the chat room who, said that we need to check our email because he offered to mail us wine. And, he did. I got that email and I mean to get back about that. I think that might be too expensive on your end to be worth it. I'll send you an email. I apologize for not getting back to you yet.
Sign us up for a cheese of the month club. At least then we know we'll eat cheese once a month.
There's been a little bit of a I've been depressed a little bit the last week and a half or so.
Yeah.
And it's been tough in terms of keeping things going, and I apologize about some disruption, but there's been a couple days where I've barely been able to get out of bed, and you know, that's just life. Sometimes you gotta roll with it and move forward and wait for things to pass. Thankfully things are a little bit better now, and today's episode's gonna be a lot of fun.
There we go. You need a pick me up.
So, anyway, let's get to this. Jordan, we needed to end the year. And I didn't want
to. Did we need to end the year? I feel like this year has been so great, we should just let it ride.
Let it ride.
Let it ride, baby.
Double or nothing.
2017, are you kidding me?
Based on the Gregorian calendar, it had to come to an end at some point.
Yes.
And I did.
Although there isn't a year zero on the Gregorian calendar, so that means that it's actually 2016.
It's true. But be that as it may, I didn't want to do a New Year's episode or anything like that. I thought that would be a little bit old hat, a little bit hacky. So I decided against
And
that.
We tried the Secret of 2017 episode, and that was very hacky.
That was a disaster.
That was a massive failure on our parts.
Boy, it should have been fun.
Wouldn't that have been lovely?
So I was thinking about it. It's like, oh, man, it's the fifth anniversary of the supposed Mayan apocalypse. I'm like, oh, we already did that episode. Shit, what are we going to do?
Let's do it again! Let's Secret of 2017, the Mayan apocalypse, Dan.
So, I was like, I don't know what to do. And so I just threw a dart. I threw a random dart into the past.
Uh-huh.
And thankfully, I hit pay dirt.
Hitler? Did you get him?
I did.
Did you get him?
I darted Hitler. Yeah.
You got him?
Mm-hmm.
Not killed him, just like gave him a minor inconvenience.
He was annoyed.
Yeah.
What I did, I'll be honest, it wasn't as regular or as random as I'm pretending. What it was I decided that I wanted to go back to the beginning of the Russia annexing the Ukraine,
okay.
The Crimea.
All right.
Which was on, I believe, the 20th of February, 2014.
Yes.
And so that's what I jumped back to. I jumped
the
back.
New start of the Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
That's year zero, I believe.
I jumped back to the 21st of February in 2014. I was like, I want to see.
Well, happy Valentine's Day. That's when Valentine's Day is, right?
Probably. Give or take a few days.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what Alex was up to then, what his positions were. And,
I bet they're super pro-Russia.
Here's what I found. On the 21st, he spends about the first 40 minutes talking about how Obama is about to take him over. He was about to take him down.
Take Alex Jones.
Yes,
down.
The media.
Gotcha. Not
all
Crimea.
Of it. No. He was just going to just destroy the entire media, and it was a totalitarian fascist takeover.
Right. It would have been a very interesting development if Obama's response to Russia annexing Crimea was to be like, 51st state, bitches, who's annexing who now?
Or I'm going to take out Alex Jones.
Yeah, that's also another interesting decision
weird,
for him to make.
Weird move.
Yeah. Either one of those would be equally likely.
So, now that Obama's out of office and he didn't take down the media and didn't attack, that at all. He didn't attack Alex Jones really at all.
Arguably, unfortunately.
He mocked Alex a little bit, which is, that's fair play.
Yeah.
So that first 40 minutes was really boring until I got to this clip. And I was like, oh, no.
Now the fire's been lit.
When I come back at the beginning of the next segment, I'm going to try to quantify what the human destiny I believe is and what it could be and what I believe the human experience truly is.
Yes.
And just how incredibly magical it is.
I'm in.
I'm going to attempt in just 2 or 3 minutes to quantify it. And then I'm going to open the phones up and I want to hear from you. What do you think the human destiny is? What are you doing to resist this evil?
Oh, yeah.
Prediction.
Okay.
3 calls.
We're not even going to get to the calls.
So he does not spend 2 to 3 minutes quantifying the human experience? He may spend a little bit more time.
He spends 11 minutes and 45 seconds on a rant about the human experience.
Okay.
And it's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. I have a lot of things that I can specifically point out that he's lying about that we're going to get through.
Okay.
And then it takes an entire break, like from commercial to commercial, for him to get through this rant. And then when he does take calls, there's like, yeah, globalists suck. Yeah, high five.
All right.
So here is where the rant begins. And I will say, in fairness to Alex, he kind of starts off on a good foot. It's not great.
Okay.
But there are some things in this first 2 minutes of the rant that I can kind of sign off on.
All right.
That changes quickly.
All right.
On this Friday, the 21st day of February, 2014.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Broadcasting to millions listening as we speak. I want to talk about the nature of reality before we open the phone calls up here. The nature of what it is to be a human. We tend to individually have a feeling like we've been here forever. And that we're never going to die and to be overconfident until we get older. Because we look around us and see institutions and buildings and culture and language and customs that took tens of thousands of years to develop on this planet.
Real quick, I don't know if he's saying you as an individual
think
you have been around forever or humanity.
Him. I think he's talking about him.
But when he's externalizing it, do you think he's saying that you, Jordan, as an individual, think you, Jordan, have been around for a long time or humanity? Because I'll say that humanity has been around for a long time.
Okay. Well, I mean, in the history of the Earth, the traditional expression is if you considered the entire lifespan of the Earth, human beings would be in the, second of the 31st day, that
sure,
whole thing.
Sure, sure.
So, relatively speaking, no, we have not.
But compared to our experience, which is really the most real thing to us,
race
we have been around a
race
long time.
Race memory, Dan.
Don't jump the gun.
With our species. And the rites of passage and the archetypal rituals that seem so comforting to us that our great, 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 great times 100 grandparents went through as well. And we now live in a time where those rituals and those rites and those human activities are being removed and scientifically dissolved and replaced with rituals of dehumanization and of consciousness suppression. That is the great crime of the New World Order. And I look at people who say they're bored or there's nothing going on in the world. That's because they are totally bought in to the mainline cosmology of sports and the drama and the movies and the celebrity that the 99.99999% of people will never be part of. And they imagine that it's like some golden field of the demigods, an Elysium, that they someday might be able to join if they play along with the system, and that is where the fulfillment lies. While fulfillment in the human process is waiting for you.
So that, at the end, is the part that I'm talking about that I'm like, this
you
is a decent foot.
You can almost sign off on that.
This is a decent foot. I do agree with him with his thoughts about celebrity worship. We've gone over that in the past. The idea that a lot of people get trapped up in the glitz and the glamour of the movie industry and Hollywood and what have you. And even reality television is guilty of this to some extent, or Alex Jones in my case. You get caught up in something and it becomes overwhelming to other parts of your life. So
here's
the
thought.
What?
That bothers me. Do people really believe that human beings like 100,000 years ago didn't get bored?
Oh, they did.
Like, generally, if you're talking about a hunter-gatherer society, what we know from bone density and the way that we've discovered those fossils is that a lot of time they just, you know, starved.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
They would starve for a week at a time, and then that's why we love fatty food so much, is because we're just
load.
You never know when you're going to starve to death, right?
Yeah.
So you're hunting, you're gathering, but you're like, well, shit, there's nothing to hunt or gather, and we're just hanging out. Like, don't you think they wished they could have had an Elysian sport.
Or the Nintendo Switch.
God, wouldn't they have killed... If you brought them forward in time and had them play the Switch, they would never hunter and gather.
But even then, according to Alex, like the hunting part of it is exciting, but gathering is kind of boring.
Meh.
So even that, like half of the population, female half, are still living boring lives, according to Alex back then. He's romanticizing this idea of cavemen.
I feel like if you haven't eaten for like 4 days, the gathering part is pretty interesting too.
Well, but I don't know what interesting means in that context then.
Pretty stoked. I mean, you'd have to be pretty stoked about it.
Maybe.
You'd have to be like, oh, check this out. There's another piece of food to eat.
So,
holy shit, there's another piece of food to eat.
I still don't think that's not boring.
Exciting.
Low standards.
People play Words with Friends.
True.
It's equally as exciting as Words with Friends.
You and I play Scrabble. Don't shit on people who play Words
gather.
With Friends. I'd gather.
We gather letters.
I wouldn't consider it exciting to gather. Anyway.
Well, this is why you're boring at Scrabble.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm very formulaic. Very rigorous and undefeatable. So
lost one time.
Never again.
All right.
I still think that there is a kernel of something in there, and I'm making a bigger deal out of this than I need to just because of how off the rails this is going to get.
Okay.
That, like, I do kind of have a hinge here where I'm like,
the fulfillment of the human process is what you're excited about.
You're better than this. You're better than getting trapped up in celebrity.
Right.
I'm all right.
I mean, are you, though?
Depends on who we're talking about.
Yeah,
I think most people are. Anyway.
I disagree. A lot of people have a subscription to Cosmo.
I've cut out nothing of these clips.
Okay.
So it's just going to
this
go.
This is all one clip that we're cutting into wherever we feel like.
Uh-huh. Here's the next, here's where the next chunk starts.
Accessing the archetypes that access the epigenetics on record and the race memory proven in all major mammal species and the strongest
now,
in humans.
Now, pause this. Restart it.
You
what the
watch
fuck
a
is
movie?
He talking about?
How about you?
What do you mean?
What the fuck is he talking about?
Let him develop his theme and then we'll
there's
talk about
no
it.
There's no... Okay. All right.
Hold
on. What was the first... started with epigenetics.
We can start the clip over, but just take notes and then...
I'm going to take notes, but he started with...
He might answer your questions.
He won't.
Of course he won't, but he might.
Accessing the archetypes that access the epigenetics on record and the race memory proven in all major mammal species and the strongest in humans. You want to watch a movie? How about you watch one from 5,000 years ago? Where do you think all these instincts come from? Why are you scared at night going in and out of your door? Why is there anxiety? Why do children imagine monsters with big red eyes and big teeth? That's big cats, big bears. All of it is there.
Big bears.
It's in chickens as well. You can take chickens 10 generations indoors with no stimuli and have a cloud go over projected on the ceiling and have 10 generations later, they've seen nothing, project a cloud, project a plane, but have a hawk fly over. They all run screaming and hiding, squawking. It's the same thing. They're trying to take all those basic instincts away from you that in the DNA, in the neurons, in your cells, your cells have a memory that has now been proven. What all the ancients and what all the sages said has now been mathematically, scientifically proven. We are a collective mass tissue species where we are individuals, but together we form a giant group collective organism, a mass organism. That at a sixth sense level, they've proven, they've done this with rhesus monkeys, where you'll have one island. Once you teach a certain amount of monkeys the trick on one island, they will magically, suddenly, that day, learn it on the next island 100, 200 times faster. It might take them 2 years to teach the monkeys how to do a trick, how to get something out of a bottle. But the day they start learning it over here, you can hand it to the other monkeys on another island, and they know how to do it. Now, what is that? No one knows, folks. There's a lot going on here.
People do know what that is.
No one knows, folks. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. So where do you like want to start with what you're talking, you know, your business? First of all, I mean, the stuff about fears, like, that are passed down through generations.
Yeah, instinct.
A lot of that is instinct. I don't fully understand DNA, but from a lot of the amount of research that I'm able to do with my non-master's degree in the subject,
yeah,
I understand that there is a process called methylation, wherein DNA pieces of the DNA are actually changed, like methyl pieces are attached to the DNAs, DNA strands, and they are able to track through this this process that happens. Like, they did an experiment in rats where they I can't remember what the actual what the gas or the scent that they used as a trigger for the rats. They gave them this smell and then electrocuted them, shocked them, and then future generations would be scared of just the smell. And it's because of DNA methylation.
Okay.
The genes are actually sort of warped behaviorally, and that is that DNA is then passed down.
That's cool as fuck.
Yeah. It's not like, I don't fully understand it, but scientists do.
I think they understand some of it.
No, fully is tough.
I mean,
yeah.
part of science is being like, hey, you know that thing we thought 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, doesn't make sense.
Right, but it would make sense that 10 generations later, chickens would still have that in them based on the fact that every existing chicken before then them had that, and that gene would have been fully expressed.
No, evolution favors organisms that can learn throughout time and adapt to that as well.
Yeah.
In the same way that it favors a, you know, stronger person doing a stronger thing, those mate more. So I would assume instinct is favored among different generations.
Yeah. Strong instincts allow you to reproduce more efficiently.
Exactly.
So anyway, where are you at?
where am I at? So explain to me what he thinks epigenetics is.
Magic. He thinks
that's a good point.
I mean,
he thinks it's a great word to use,
because epigenetics just describes even like genetic predetermination for anxieties, depressions.
Yep.
Studies have been done that show that there seems to be some sort of a genetic component to addictions that are passed down.
Right.
So that sort of thing is epigenetics.
If your
dad drunk, you drink.
If your dad drunk, you drink.
Yep.
I think that sentence makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So he thinks that's magical.
Yes.
All righty. Now, which sages have been proven correct? Just like all of them?
Sage Francis? I don't know.
Francis has always been correct.
I don't know any sages.
Are we talking about the Oracle at Delphi? Like, what are we talking about?
I don't think the Oracle of Delphi talked about epigenetics.
Are we talking about Pliny the Elder?
Pliny the Elder?
Don't Greek me.
Come on.
If your dad Greek, you Greek.
So the other thing there at the end is this idea he has about the, you know, you teach enough monkeys and then magically these other monkeys across the pond are going to have that that behavior that you've taught them.
Well, that was a very interesting event wherein it was something called morphic resonance. There was a species of echidna or like a crow that learned how to use a tool in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then on an island that had no recorded whatever it's called, contact with the same species, they learned it within a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they thought that, you know, the thought there is, well, but it could also have just been coincidence.
But that's not what he's talking about.
Of course it's not. I'm just trying to find a real world thing that makes sense.
I have it.
What's that?
Well, there's this belief.
If you show me a dick pic, I'm going to be very mad.
I won't.
I got it right here.
There's this belief that goes around in like pseudo-scientifical communities. It's called the 100th monkey theory. And that
I'm
is
out.
That is that if you teach enough monkeys a behavior, all other monkeys will start to learn it. And it's supposedly based on science, but it's all been debunked. So I'm just going to read you here from some article about this.
Okay.
The story of the 100th monkey effect was published by Lyle Watson's foreword to Lawrence Blair's Rhythms of Vision in 1975 and spread with the appearance of Watson's 1979 book Lifetide. The account is that unidentified scientists were conducting a study of macaque monkeys in the Japanese island of Koshima in 1952. These scientists observed that some of these monkeys learned to wash sweet potatoes, and gradually this new behavior spread through the younger generation of monkeys in the usual fashion, through observation and repetition.
Right.
Watson then concluded that the researchers observed that once a critical number of monkeys was reached, i.e. the 100th monkey, this previously learned behavior instantly spread across the water to other monkeys on nearby islands.
So, if I understand correctly,
mm-hmm.
anywhere where those monkeys existed, if there was a small subsection of monkeys,
mm-hmm.
up to 100,
right,
then that knowledge would then be transmitted,
yeah.
to all monkeys around the world within that species.
That is the idea, that there is a threshold. And this is an idea that goes around in theosophist and pseudo-scientifical communities.
Right,
where they're
right.
like, if we just raise the consciousness to a breaking point, everyone will benefit from it because this consciousness will spread. It's almost...
So it's like magical Malcolm Gladwell is what you're talking
but
about.
But it's like Alex, too. Like, he talks about how, like...
Well,
we
so
get
is
enough...
Malcolm Gladwell.
Sure.
All right.
So,
all right. Anybody?
Unsubstantiated claims that there was a sudden and remarkable increase in the proportion of sweet potato washers in the first population were exaggerations of a much slower, more mundane effect. Rather than all monkeys mysteriously learning the skill, it was noted that it was predominantly younger monkeys that learned the skill from older monkeys through observational learning, which is widespread in the animal kingdom. Older monkeys who did not know how to wash the sweet potatoes tended not to learn. As the older monkeys died and younger monkeys were born, the proportion of washers naturally increased. The time span between observations by the Japanese scientists was on the order of years, so the increase in proportion was not observed to be sudden. So all this is bullshit. But then beyond that, claims that the practice of washing the sweet potatoes spread suddenly to other isolated populations of monkeys may be called into question, given the fact that at least one sweet potato washing monkey swam to another population and spent about 4 years there, and also the monkeys had researchers in common.
What the fuck was that guy doing?
He just, hey, I got it.
Where was he going?
Also, the sweet potato is...
Now that's your 100th monkey right there. That's your story.
The guy
goes... Fuck the morphic resonance bullshit. I want to know what the fuck that monkey was doing swimming all the way across there.
Yeah. And also, it turns out that sweet potatoes are not, like, they weren't a native food to these monkeys.
Nah, sweet
and
potatoes.
So the idea that older monkeys wouldn't know how to prepare them is completely reasonable. They'd have to figure it out. They'd have to sort it out. So the older generations having
Do you know
lower
how you can very simply prove that this theory is bullshit?
That way?
You know how old people can't take a fucking screenshot on their phone?
It's true.
that's not a hundredth monkey situation.
Well, no, because the next generation, there's 100. It never applies to the older generation. It's always the younger ones.
Nah, they're going to die.
Anyway, who cares? This
kill
is
the elderly. I think what this study really teaches is we need to kill all old monkeys.
In starting to espouse his beliefs about race memory and what have you, he is completely indicated that he has no idea what epigenetics is. He has no idea about DNA methylation.
Right.
He has no idea that the 100th monkey theory is complete umpus bumpus.
Nope.
As they say in British fiction.
And as far as race memory goes, he doesn't even know Usain Bolt won in 2008.
Not at all. So anyway, we go on with the clip.
And the globalists are aware of all that and are trying to jack into it and hack it and block it. That's why they don't want you to be a natural man. They don't want you to be a natural woman. They don't want you to follow your natural instincts that will fulfill you, that will satisfy you. They don't want you to go through the rites and rituals of manhood. They don't want you to be feminine if you're a woman. They don't want you to go through those because you will be fulfilled, you will mature, and you will activate all of the pre-programming that the Creator put into us. Because we are free will. We do have a consciousness above all this that rides it.
But
there are so many levels to our life. So many organs and cell systems and mitochondrial DNA and DNA and RNA interfaces and electrochemical processes where it's all interfacing inside your body and with other people. Visually, audibly, through the tactile touch, through the smell, through the taste.
Are you eating people?
I am all those that came before me. Their desperate battle to survive is now manifest in me and in you. I can feel their struggle and their strength.
I can feel it.
They are raging and seething for us to succeed. All of them stacked on top of one another, now with us.
That's not a safe
pyramid. I look at the next generation, and I then join my ancestors from that perspective, looking out, only wanting us to colonize space, only wanting us not to destroy ourselves, only wanting us to succeed.
I agree. Sign off
on everything.
And then
I see the greed, the animus, the evil, the people turned to the jungle in this corrupt system to survive, believing evil and treachery is what has empowered them, and cold-bloodedness, when it is what has held us back.
Guns and Roses?
To absolutely going to the next level. So I wanted today to just speak about the human experience.
Okay.
I would posit that it's not the human experience. It's Alex's mentally ill, possibly brain damaged experience.
I'm liking it.
So I know it's interesting. It's much more interesting than his bigotry. That's for damn sure. Even though there's a parcel of bigotry in it.
Oh, there's absolutely, and not to mention misogyny.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But still way more interesting to me than his normal, knockout game narratives.
Of course.
Like that.
Yeah,
I would
much
rather him, hear just like,
it's got a hint of the, you're not allowed to say father or mother anymore in it though.
But he's too esoteric at this point in the episode to get into those crass narratives.
That's true.
This is high-level stuff. He's got to mention epigenetics and 100th monkey shit. This is not time for brown bags being outlawed or purple penguins.
What's your favorite ritual of manhood?
Beating everybody up and then banging a bunch of young ladies before I'm 16. And then getting thrown out of school for fighting too much and smoking crack twice on a beach. And then, I don't know, maybe graduating from high school.
That's a long ritual. It's going to take a while.
Well, I'm trying to figure
what's
out.
What's your favorite ritual of womanhood?
Menses. I don't know. I don't think it's fair for me to critique what the rites of passage for women are. I didn't have that life experience. Come on, man. That's you. You're trying to sell me up the river like that. What the fuck is your problem?
I was hoping you would suddenly pick up some improv skills. Apparently, I was wrong.
I have never claimed to be a yes and guy. I don't know, man. I think his view of the rites of passage are slightly skewed, especially based on the things that we know of his life.
Right.
If we consider the possibility that he is telling the truth about his history, then the idea that he broke ways with his mom and individuated at like age 6 when she told him he didn't get love anymore.
Rite of passage.
That's not the healthy time to have that
ritual
rite of passage.
Ritual of manhood at 6 years
you
old.
You still very much need connection with your parents in order to contextualize the world around you.
Can't be on the teat at 6, baby.
Maybe in caveman days. Unfortunately.
Well, that was your lifespan in caveman days. All right.
Another rite of passage, maybe picking up some wildly anti-Semitic John Birch Society style beliefs at the age of about 12.
Maybe that's
a rite of passage.
Right.
I don't know.
Or like, like walking the cornfields.
Sure.
Pulling weeds.
Like a lot of those, all that other stuff.
Similar rites of passage.
All that other stuff I said in that string of shit is all stuff he's admitted were part of his childhood.
Right.
You know? So like, I don't think those are healthy rites of passage. I'm not here to judge him or anything, but
now
he's judging everyone else.
Yeah. Here's my first big red flag.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we need to go to the stars.
Right,
that's important to him.
Well, no, it's important to the ancestors who he feels in his bosom,
as well as the creator.
Right,
but at the same time,
the creator actually is not weighed in on it.
At the same time, we have to stick to the rituals of those old people.
Of tribal days.
Who never went to the stars.
Right.
Does he think that if we continue to hunter-gather long enough, we'll just, like, start floating? Like, we'll just get up there? We'll be like, I ran out of berries over here, so might as well check out the moon.
Yeah, I mean, that must be what he thinks.
Yeah.
Because those two things are very antithetical. The idea of rigidly holding on to the past while trying to progress.
That doesn't make a goddamn lick of sense.
No, it's a dangerous thing.
It's straight up bullshit.
So we're not done with this rant yet.
I didn't imagine so.
In this next clip, Alex gets more into the rites of passage, tries to cite a poem.
Oh, boy.
And then gets weird.
Oh, boy.
Life is like a 100-yard dash where you're born explosively into the world and your body begins to grow and you begin to take on all this information and the trials and the tribulations and all the new things and then the viruses and the bacteria and the language and the culture and you're bombarded and you race right to the end. And then, boom, the next generation takes the baton. And it's all these explosive generations. Back at 300, back in Greece, right through the Alamo, all through the billions of experiences, all the legends,
all the
men, all the women, all the people that fought and died, all the honorable, all the brave, all the wicked, all the evil, all the backstabbing.
Like the guys who fought for slavery.
This one was brave. This one was bold. This one was lucky. There at the dark tower, Child Roland came, and for a brief moment, the hills lit up with fire, and I could see them all, and I was with them. Dauntless. Lifted. The horn to his mouth in blue.
Uh-oh. Losing the thread.
That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay on target.
So there, he quotes his favorite poem that he quotes a lot.
Right.
And we've never really taken the time to look at it, so I looked into it a little bit this time because it seemed weird because he's on this rant about rites of passage and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think that he thinks that Child Roland, it's the Child Roland to the Dark Tower Came is the name of the poem by a gentleman by the name of Robert Browning.
Yep.
And I think that he thinks Child Roland means baby Roland, and it doesn't.
No.
Child with an E at the end. Is a word not for a child. It means untested knight.
Yeah.
Back in the old time English. So this is an adult.
Also, Robert Browning,
mm-hmm.
As a lit major,
mm-hmm.
shitty poet.
Also, he
not good at it.
He wrote
long poems.
It wasn't short. I did read the whole poem.
It's long. He gets into like fucking 8-page long poems, man.
As someone who came up on like translating the Iliad and shit,
uh-huh.
This isn't that long for
that,
me.
Well, yeah, of course.
So
your dad Greek, you Greek.
Come on, man. My dad ain't Greek. So I read the Child Roland to the Dark Tower Came.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually really interesting because I think there are some connections with Alex in the poem that he doesn't realize.
Okay.
So one of the first things about it is it's not about a rite of passage. And I don't necessarily believe that all of the great heroes of old appear to Roland at the end when he goes to the Dark Tower and completes his rite of passage.
Oh, that sounds right.
That's one interpretation. That's what's kind of fun about art and poetry is you can have your own interpretation. And Alex's could be true to him, and that's great.
Hey.
That's not what most people have
authorial
read.
Intent died in the 60s.
Margaret Atwood. Who is a famous writer.
Yeah.
And also the, that's the name my cat had at the Humane Society before before I adopted her. Margaret Atwood, believes that the poem, Child Roland is actually Robert Browning himself and that the Dark Tower is, the act of writing the poem.
The movie by Stephen King.
No.
The book by Stephen King?
The Dark Tower?
Yeah.
No. But Dark, no. I mean, that is probably what,
Robert Browning was a huge Stephen King fan.
Come
on. No, it was obviously what he was citing.
Oh, God,
I'm derailing you as soon as
getting
possible.
Furious.
Let's do it.
Robert Browning was citing King Lear, which is actually citing in itself a old time fairy tale called Child Roland, and it's theorized that it is actually the protagonist from the Song of Roland, who is in the poem. But anyway, Margaret Atwood's theory is that it, you know, there's a lot of fear within the poem, and it's the Dark Tower is the act of writing the poem is what he is working his way towards, and he is afraid of finishing it.
Okay.
So there's that. There are other interpretations about it being a knightly quest is what the tower symbolizes, and that success can only come through failure or realization that it's futile. I don't know. I don't really like poetry that much. But one of the things I did notice while reading this poem.
Do you want to start a Knowledge Fight Poetry Club?
Yeah, I do. I do. I noticed that there's a trend. The story of the poem is Child Roland going. At the beginning, he gets told by this old weirdo that he's got to go do this thing or whatever. He's like, I'm not sure if I trust this guy. And then he goes along on his way through some woods and some fields trying to find this tower.
Right. Joseph Campbell's hero's journey.
Somewhat. Yeah. But he goes along the way and nothing happens to him the entire time. But it's full of like, oh my God, this river could be full of dead bodies. And it's not. Like the entire time, it's just made up bullshit when it could just be a stroll in the woods. That could be what the literal thing he's experiencing is, but he's mythologized this into like this crazy trip to a battle. And it's not.
Right.
It's not that.
He's rewriting his own story in order to make it more interesting.
Exactly.
Because it's actually just a walk to a fucking tower.
Right. And he gets to the tower. There's no indication that there's a battle there or anything like that. And at the end, he does say, let me read this here off. They stood there, ranged on the hillsides, met to view the last of me, a living frame, for one more picture, in a sheet of flame. I saw them and I knew them all, and yet, dauntless, the slug horn to my lips I set, and blew Child Roland to the Dark Tower came. In the same way that
he blew him?
No, dauntless, the slug horn.
Dauntless was like, they've named a lot of boats after that poem.
And, a ship in Star Trek.
Yeah.
But be that, look, in the same way he's imagining the entire trip there as being full of fraught with danger, end he's imagining these people there. Now, the other thing is, there's a point in the poem.
Are the globalists at the Dark Tower?
No, but there's a point in the poem where he doesn't really want to go anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really want to keep going. And I'll just read you this and see what you think is being described.
Okay.
Not it. I fancied Cuthbert's redding face beneath its garniture of curly gold, dear fellow, till I almost felt him fold an arm in mine to fix me to the place the way he'd us'd. Alas, one night's disgrace out went my heart's new fire and left it cold. What is he describing there? He's talking about banging a dude.
He is talking about banging a dude.
Now let's get to this.
I'm pretty sure he's being held gently by a dude.
Cuthbert.
He's got all kinds of fire in him, and then it's extinguished.
One night's disgrace.
You got it.
Giles, then, the soul of honor, there he stands. Frank, as 10 years ago when knighted first. What honest man should dare, he said, he durst. Good, but the scene shifts. Faugh, what hangman hands? Pinned his breast a parchment, his only bands. Read it, poor traitor, spit upon and cursed. So he's remembering a knight that was really noble and was a traitor and was killed for treason. Better this present than a past like that. Back therefore to my darkening path again. So what he goes on to actually get to, get along on his imaginary quest is, oh shit, in my past I banged that dude. And, hey, even heroes end up sometimes being, turning out to be traitors.
Hmm.
So he's running from a, like, a past that he deems dishonorable or whatever. Like, you know, that is, he's running from shame and fear towards an imagined end line. So anyway, what I'm...
In that section of the poem, though, what the interpretation would be is more, by quitting the quest, I would be the traitor.
Probably.
As opposed to, he is running away from banging a dude. The dude he banged is more just like,
he seems
to, I could hang out and be with this dude.
He seems to
but
have
I'm
fun.
Remembering this dude who was a traitor, and I can't stay with him because I would, you know, that whole thing. But I have to stay true to my quest.
These two stanzas are memories. And then it says,
race
better,
memories?
Better this present than a past like that.
Yeah.
So even though there does seem to be some warmth when he's talking about Cuthbert, he's still saying, like, I would rather have this fearful, present than, the past like that.
Right. Welcome to Knowledge Fight Poetry Club. I know a lot about poetry.
Let's get off this, but I want to just really, like, specify that what I'm talking about is Alex Jones has made up a fictionalized mythic quest that he's been on for the last 23 years or whatever.
And he's banged a dude.
And he's going towards some sort of...
Allegedly.
He's going towards some imaginary finish line of heroics that he thinks he's heading towards.
Right.
He thinks he is this guy going to this dark tower.
Of course.
And he's just imagining the entire thing. And what propels him forward possibly is some sort of shame, not necessarily about banging a dude like Cuthbert, but some sort of shame of something in his past that we are at present
I mean,
date
let's
still
be honest,
unclear about.
Cuthbert seemed very gentle for the time.
True. Seemed great. So anyway, back to the clip.
And when you figure that out, that you are all those people that came before you and you are all those people that come after you, you're not going to worry about dying anymore yourself. You're going to worry about the consciousness you've got dying and the rituals that have been carried out by our ancestors, not being carried out into the future, because then those rituals are needed in all the psychology, in all the anthropology, in all the sociology, in all of it. You need those to then activate
none of those things.
All of the DNA strands, the 96% they said was junk that isn't, that literally then resonates
junk.
And activates the data packets, the compressed data information we need to go into the future.
What is he talking about, like a zip file?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, he's saying that your DNA are zip files and you just need to decompress them.
Right.
Or what have
you. Yeah. Well, you're going to need like WinRAR or an unzip program, and that's not really a ritual.
No, it's the rituals, the rites of passage.
Those are the that's WinRAR,
right? Again, based on what I know of his past, I would say it's not the rites of passage that unlocked any weird thoughts like this in his brain as much as, well, I mean, if you count being stuck under a house being fumigated as a rite of passage,
that would unlock a lot of shit in your brain.
That could give you some sort of ideas about, along these lines.
Right.
And it would probably make it very difficult for you to understand what you're reading.
He's got like a half remembrance of half of something that maybe was true that he read in the title of an article.
Yeah.
Like,
he remembered the word dauntless.
96% of junk DNA that scientists told us is like, no one's ever said that.
Well, that's that colloquial bullshit about you'll use 10% of your brain.
Yeah, of course.
It's along those
and that
same
doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, it's one of those popular ideas.
Or like the heat escapes from your head. Like that's from a study they did where they had the guy wear thermal clothing, but he didn't wear a hat. So they're like, well, of course all the heat escapes from your head. And you're like, no, you were just...
It's the place.
You didn't cover your head.
The uncovered place.
Yeah.
So we have one more clip of this rant, and it gets, like, towards the end, it gets very, confusing. Because I think he's trying to sum up what he wants this all to have been about.
Yeah.
And at this point, I think he's spouting pseudoscience, debunked studies, probable misinterpretations of, Child Roland to the Dark Tower came.
A bunch of made up shit as well.
Yeah, and so, but it's not till the end that it actually becomes really confusing to me. Because he brings it back towards the real world.
Let's get confusing.
He brings it back towards the real world, and I just don't know what he means.
I want to get confused.
And believe me, we need all of those struggles and all of that information to go into the future. The globalists are trying to block us off from that information because that is the answer. So there, my friends, really is the nature of reality, is that think about how we're alive for this short moment, interfacing with all this art, literature, and culture that our species has created. How can you not love humanity and want to embrace humanity for your brief moment of consciousness before you are re-uploaded into the next wave? And then there's a spiritual living forever as well that is certainly real and is the next level. God gives us life and creation on so many levels. That's what I've become to understand. We live on through our children, the surest way of living forever. We live on through the DNA. We live on through the art, through the literature, through the ideas. And the great human attribute, the true sign of being human, is not just forming our own environment, not just taking control of our own development. That is the foundation. But the great spark, the Promethean fire, is the desire to transmit loving knowledge on to the next generation and to build up the young of the future.
I agree that that is important. Now, it's also important for that information to be correct. The loving information should be correct.
So what we're really saying is don't allow Alex Jones's kids to have kids. That's the only real way to kill Alex Jones.
Epigenetically.
Exactly.
Politically, epigenetically.
I love his bullshit of like, it's through the art, it's through the literature, it's through all of these things that live on, it's through, but don't watch movies.
Don't.
Now, I know
I quote movies
a lot. Look, all art is made by globalists.
Absolutely.
So don't look at that. That's what we leave on to our kids, globalists.
Yeah.
They're trying to block the past, but we gotta stay back there, otherwise the past isn't gonna allow us to get to the future. That doesn't make a goddamn bit of sense. What the fuck is he talking about?
I'm not sure.
Everything is a contradiction within itself.
Right. That's the mysteries.
That's Alex Jones.
That's the mysteries of
illusion. Oh, well, we figured
it
out. Good thing this was our last podcast of the year. We fucking nailed it.
This clip isn't done.
Oh, shit.
Because they are us. We are them. They will become the elders and fall like dust into the ground. This is the great truth. This is why you uphold your family name. This is why you try to be an honorable, good person. This is why you have a conscience. Is this good for humanity? And the globalists come with a counterfeit and say, yes, we are the collectivist because we are collectivists. And they come and they say, we're going to create a collectivism to help humanity when they're actually centralized parasites that hate humanity that are using a collectivism to shudder and block and gouge out the eyes and the ears and the nose and the soul of humanity. And the sixth sense show that we cannot be individuals. We are individuals who are part of a collective and are meant to operate through free association and free will to take the greatest attributes of humanity through free association, to vote in free association, to uphold the greatest of our people, to then make that the model for others as a stairway to build even greater systems into the future. This is the human experience. This is the great goal. This is what can free us. Not Hollywood, not fame, not fake fortune, none of it. But building a true world, building a better world, building a free world based on due process, based on honor, based on our fathers and our mothers that came before us.
No Ed Pivot. But,
well, that's better than usual.
Well, it's 2014, so
that's true.
He's not nearly as desperate at this point.
Right.
So one of the things that I want to talk about there is the use of the word free association over and over again. Because, you know, free association is largely a Marxist, communist, and anarchist term. It's mostly,
but that's false collectivism.
No. Like, free association, if you're just talking about the right to assemble and stuff like that, then that's in the First Amendment, and that's not really encroached.
That's what the globalists put in there.
Right, but if you're talking about one of the other biggest versions of free association is like unions. Unions are very in the conversation of free association.
But that's not real free association.
No.
That's the globalist false collectivism that they're using to try and block your real free association, which is discovering that your father and mother are actually you. Mm-hmm. But only your father, because your mother is really not involved. Which is what Alex Jones believes.
Maybe.
Only women's mothers are associated with free association.
Jumps generations.
Yeah, I don't.
So what it comes down to is like workers and people who make money off of work.
Yeah.
Off of labor have a relationship that is not necessarily freely associated. It's a forced association based on me needing to sell my labor in order to survive, and therefore the person with the capital to use my labor has essentially control.
Prosperity?
He has control over my association. He has control over my life.
By the way, the food workers at O'Hare went on strike. Support them.
Sweet. I hear. Bully.
Yeah. Bully. Bully.
So free association would be the form of society created if private property was abolished in order to allow individuals to freely dispose of the means of production, which would bring about the end to class society, i.e. there would be no more owners, neither proletarians nor state, but only freely associated individuals. So pure free association requires the destruction of private property, which is something that I know that Alex isn't for. So all he can really be talking about is this really basic free association concept, I guess, of what's covered in the First Amendment, which is cool, I guess, but if I
understand what he's talking about, I will not claim to.
He goes to open carry marches.
Right.
Like he goes on marches where they make public displays of just having their guns out and shit.
Right.
Which they have the right to do, but he can't claim that free association is being taken away from him. He can have whatever political group he wants. He can get on the radio and start a political cult if he wants. People are free to associate with him.
I think what he's really describing, if I understand correctly, is everybody should live with giant tracts of land where they never see anybody unless you choose to see somebody else.
Yeah, probably.
That's essentially what he's describing there. This idea of like forced collectivism, or no, false collectivism in his idea is cities.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
You know, that idea of living in a city with all those people.
Right.
He's afraid of that. He's afraid of people.
Yeah, you're
right. We know he's afraid of people.
That is kind of what it is.
He only wants to, this is all that he has just said is, I am afraid of other people.
So to you, what I'm hearing from you is free association to him is the right to not associate with some.
Boom!
As opposed to the term as it actually exists.
Nailed it!
If that's the case.
100% that's the case.
If that's the case, then his argument for free association is not really free association, because if you don't want to be associated with someone like me, because let's say you don't want to be associated with cross-eyed people.
Right.
I have,
which has always been true.
I have no freedom in that.
I've been on record.
I have no free association in terms of your rules. This is stupid. Anyway,
it is stupid.
He is full of nonsense, but I do like that he accidentally is advocating for Marxist anarchist positions. If he actually knew what he was talking about, so
that's such a, and it's also so brilliant in regards to Alex Jones's operating procedure, insofar as this version of collectivism, whatever it is I am saying is collectivism, is correct. Mm-hmm. Anybody who says there's a different version of collectivism is a globalist.
Right.
So he is taking ownership completely of the word.
I think he does that with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like Christmas. It's Christmas week.
Yeah.
It is Christmas week, right?
Hey, guys, I do not look at the chat sadly.
With those human eyes.
I am not a fish person.
You are a fish person.
I glance from time to time, and I'd like to respond to more, but we don't have time, and we got to, we have our own world to get through here. I apologize if you guys feel critiqued by me or anything.
Nobody's critiquing anybody.
So we have one more clip from the 21st before we get to the 23rd. And like I said...
Oh, I thought the whole episode was just this weird-ass rant.
Oh, no. I have a real sweet payoff for us.
Oh, because I was fucking totally vamping.
No.
I was no more 45-minute Spirit of 2017 bullshit.
We got esoteric Alex on the 21st, and then we got a new Alex on the 23rd.
We have a new Alex?
The 21st was Friday. The 23rd is Sunday. And my man, I... fucking really like Alex on the 23rd. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
I think that in a different life, Alex Jones could have been pretty amazing at certain things.
All right.
And he displays some of these skills in a second. But first, I went back to February 2014 specifically to try and see if I could figure out what Alex Jones's take on Russia annexing part of the Ukraine was.
Right.
So I instead
that's ostensibly what we're talking about.
I instead found this weird esoteric rant that we've been talking about for quite a bit now, where he just lies and says a bunch of random bullshit.
Yeah.
But later in the episode, he has an interview with Jerome Corsi, who is at this point still just a writer for WorldNet Daily.
Uh-huh.
So he is not even a part of the InfoWars fold yet, but Alex Jones considers him a very important
trusted source.
Important piece of the Patriot movement.
Yes.
And the only thing I think you need to know before this clip gets going is that in February 2014, the Winter Olympics in Sochi were going on in Russia.
Right.
And so...
which Obama annexed.
Right. So that's kind of the backdrop of some of the stuff that Jerome Corsi is talking about.
Right.
His big complaint that he's going to get to is that... well, you'll see.
And Alex, on the Ukraine, look... It's not coincidental. The Ukraine is, on fire right now while the Olympics are going on. The Ukraine has wanted to move towards the West. What you're seeing in the Olympics is an NBC produced television show. It's a studio show. If you notice, all the Olympics look the same, whether it's this one or 4 years ago or four
are
years
the
in the future, they're all going to look the same. They're all this political propaganda. Oh, look, all the world gets together. We can all compete together. You don't see in Russia the suppression of rights that was put on to make this show go.
All
the
right.
reemergence of, a Russia that is a totalitarian state. You don't see the part of the opening games where all the communist images were displayed before all the different flags marched into the stadium. All the part is sanitized. You're watching a sanitized television show on the Olympics, but it's nothing more than, the gladiator games from Rome, written large and made available on your television set to keep people entertained. I don't mean to demean the competition and the competitors. The athletes are doing a good job, but you've got to realize the political aspect of this, and the people in the Ukraine, as well as the people in Russia, have been begging for someone to listen to them in their fight for their own rights. And Obama's turning a deaf ear. Obama will not support Ukraine. He'll support Putin. And he's doing it again with the weakness of the United States and the weakening down of our military might. So we're becoming very rapidly a second-class power.
So hold on. You're doing the jack-off motion, but this is incredibly important.
No. I get why.
The way Jerome Corsi said, take his horrible voice as you will. That's a droning, nasally.
He sounds like old Milhouse.
What he is saying, my friend, in this clip, is that it is the Ukraine versus Putin.
Yeah.
They have very separate interests.
Yeah.
And the United States needs to support the people of Ukraine and the Russians who are crying out for help against Putin's totalitarian regime.
Right.
That he runs in Russia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jerome Corsi is 100% the opposite direction now.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who would have guessed?
So now let's see if Alex has any, where's he at?
Or in the world, which is a disgrace, given the men and women who fought and died to preserve American freedom, and that we around the world are going to turn a blind eye and not even speak up and champion those in Ukraine who want their own rights, want their own government, and want to be free of Russian domination.
Well, Dr. Corsi, I concur with what you're saying. Putin, it's definitely a former KGB-run kleptocracy. But compared to then some of the things Obama has been doing, we know Soros is in there trying to jump on the back along with Hillary's groups and the Endowment for Democracy and the rest of them.
Of course.
To try to NGO this into the EU. I'd like Ukraine to be sovereign and not be a
part of the EU. Ukraine needs to be its own nation. Again,
that's what I'm saying. What do they do then? You don't want to be part of Russia. You don't want to be part of the EU. And then you've got Soros and them trying to foment this rebellion. I mean, whose side do you get on?
Well, the EU needs to be broken up.
So,
all right. Well,
that part's consistent.
Corsi has been wrong.
In as much as they both believe that the EU and the UN need to be broken up, they're already geopolitically on fairly similar territory as Putin. But you can see at this point, I guarantee Alex has not had that interview with Russian intelligence.
Or at the very least has not been jerked off by...
Nope. They haven't told him that Putin listens to the show yet.
Nope.
They haven't lied to him and told him that.
Uh-uh.
Because at this point, he is at least close to that the place that he was at in 2000.
Y2K, yeah,
where Putin looks like a demon and is on a power grab.
He's a former KGB kleptocrat.
Right.
Yep.
He's 100% different than that. Now, in 2015 even, we saw. So somewhere between February 2014 and June 2015, Alex Jones was flipped by Russian intelligence. I guarantee that.
2018 investigation, my friend.
I think it might be.
There we go.
All
of our investigations are, when does Alex Jones completely flip on whatever position he has?
Right,
because he has no consistent ideology. But nothing.
This is crazy, though.
This is crazy.
This is nuts. Like, to the extent that he eventually gets into, like, everything bad about Russia is a lie. Putin didn't actually blow up those apartment buildings.
Right.
He's a great guy.
I can't wait to see his take on the Qatar Olympics. I bet he's going to be a huge fan there.
I don't want to just go to all the Olympics.
Oh, man.
It would be interesting. But be that as it may, man, it's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
He needs to take stuff down.
That's ultimately the point of Knowledge Fight.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Alex, take it down.
Clean up.
You listen to our show.
Yeah. Oh, also, I want to give a quick apology.
So does Putin, by the way.
I want to give two quick apologies. I really should have done this up top at the beginning of the show. First one was on our last episode, we were drinking a little bit. We misspoke a tiny bit, and one of our listeners sent me a message about it, and she was totally right. When we were discussing the Access Hollywood tape of Trump's, we were discussing it because we were being kind of loose with our language. It made it sound like we were saying it came out in 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Or that it was recorded in 2015.
Right.
And we were not clear enough about that, and we apologize.
Yeah.
And then secondarily, I took out that stuff that we talked about Daria.
Okay.
Alex's employee Daria on the last episode, because I realized I'm about 95% sure of the stuff that I found and other stuff that I've found since then, but I can't 100% stand behind it. And we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. So that stuff just doesn't belong. And I apologize for jumping on a little bit of unverifiable stuff.
So again, Alex, if you're listening, that's the trick. Well, take it down.
Well, that's why it triggered it in my brain. So anyway, one thing I'm glad he didn't take down is February 23rd.
The globalists.
Dude. So February 23rd. Is a Sunday, and we know that Alex likes to let it ride on Sundays.
Oh, yeah.
He starts the show by saying that he's joined Team Obama. He's being sarcastic.
Of course.
And I thought that this would be, I thought possibly it was going to be a situation where he, do you remember in 2015, there was an episode where he pretended to jump the shark?
Yes.
Where he was like, all Muslims should be deported. And I'm doing this satirically.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to do something like that, where he was going to do the entire episode like, I am fully an Obama guy now, and try and do an hour and a half of radio like that. He did not. Now this gets super fun.
And he did come after your guns, but that's okay, even though he lied, because he didn't lie. And everything is awesome. Everything is wonderful. Everything is good. And the economy's doing great. And Obamacare is obviously wrecking the country and shutting down businesses everywhere and putting people on part-time work. But that's okay. They say just go get on welfare. That's what they wanted you all the time. Part of the system. So everything is awesome when you're part of a forced labor camp. Everything is awesome in the Soviet Union, Venezuela. Everything is awesome in a collectivist nightmare. Everything is awesome, except it's not awesome historically.
Nice.
So.
Nicely done.
Now that's.
Way to drop the hammer there.
That's just good fun.
Yes.
Now, in this next clip, Alex lays out what he wants to do on this episode, and it tickled me to no end, and the way it ends up working out, the progression of this episode, I find immensely delightful, and you'll see why at the other end of this clip.
I want people that really disagree. In fact, I just figured out what I want. We're not going to take first-time callers or long-time callers when I first open the phones up. Today is only people that disagree, at least in the first hour of phone calls, from the bottom of the hour to 30 minutes in the next hour. I want to hear from apologists who think I'm wrong and want to tell me how I'm a fraud. Lord knows I'm obnoxious. Sometimes I'm unlistenable in my own view. But what I'm talking about is going on. We're losing liberty. Tyranny is growing worldwide. We're going in the wrong direction. We're going into greater debt. We're being dumbed down. We're getting physically more unhealthy. World government is being set up by select corporations that are not free market or monopolistic. Hmm. We need to have a major debate about this. I told you Obamacare had death panels, cut the quality of care, jacked up the prices, was written by offshore mafia organizations basically that run the insurance companies. Do I get an apology from all you Obama people that before, during, and after? We've done this four or five shows. We've given you the floor, and you call in and attack me for not liking Obamacare. So do you want to call in and apologize to me and Ted Cruz and so many others that told the truth, or Matt Drudge, or anybody that told anybody who could read the bill and actually cared about reality? Do you want to call in and apologize? Because, listen, I don't want you to apologize to me, but you need to have the act of contrition, saying you're sorry to the people that you've attacked and lied about. Now, we know the state-run media is not going to do that. They're going to continue to just say, everything is awesome. Now you're part of the team. Everything is wonderful.
So he starts.
So he's going to take calls from people who are going to say, I'm sorry.
No. He started the clip by saying, I'm going to take calls from people who disagree with me. And he's trying to say about Obamacare.
Yes.
Then at the end, it's like, also apologize to me. Like, that took an aggressive turn. Now, here's one problem that Alex Jones has, and the reason that he's done multiple episodes like this fruitlessly, which I can't wait to try and find those. He's self-selecting from his audience.
Right.
No one who's intelligent listens to Alex Jones. Like, no one who's listening and is like, I'm going to call that guy, is very smart. Now, if you want to go a step further, no one who believes in Obama or believes in left principles and is smart is listening to Alex and is going to call in.
Right.
He's pretty secure in that. He yes. knows that.
Yeah.
So he can just put out these challenges and know, like, eh, whatever.
Right.
So we'll see if we get any calls. But he vamps for a while.
Of course.
He complains, why aren't I getting any calls? And it's like, well, because your audience is idiots and all in your cult.
And you are getting calls, but you're probably not taking them.
So in the meantime, while he's waiting for a call to come through, he gets into a couple narratives that are kind of fun. Here is the first one, and it is about how a Democratic a representative, I believe, by the name of Gary Peters, representative out of Michigan, is trying to get a PSA, an ad, taken off the air. And Alex thinks this is fascistic encroachment on free speech.
Sure.
So we'll get through it, and then we'll see if there's any truth to this.
I don't call this liberal. I call it authoritarian. Here is the TV ad called Julie's Story.
My name is Julie Boonstra, and 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with leukemia.
Shut her up.
I found out that I only have a 20% chance of surviving.
Don't give her a voice.
I found this wonderful doctor.
Shut her off.
A great healthcare plan.
We're liberal.
I was doing fairly well.
Case for killing
cancer,
Granny.
Fighting the leukemia. And then I received the letter. My insurance was canceled because of Obamacare. Now the out-of-pocket costs are so high, it's unaffordable. If I do not receive my medication, I will die. I believed the president. I believed I could keep my health insurance plan. I feel lied to.
So at this point, the going to commercial music starts, but it's also competing with the PSA music.
Yeah.
So we're going to go straight to commercial and then just come back on the other end of it because he gets right back to it. So it'll go out to break and then come back.
It's heartbreaking for me. Congressman Peters, your decision to vote for Obamacare jeopardized my health. It is time to listen to me. It is time to listen to the other American citizens out there.
And it's on record all of this is happening. All right, the rest of the ad's up on InfoWars.com. And his answer is, shut it off. I'm going to get your license pulled. Hey, why don't you move to China, punk?
Yeah, get him.
We are back live, but on the air. Oh, I drive 170. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday edition. You know what? We didn't play all the ad, and because this state rep is threatening to...
I want to tell you this. Alex Jones doesn't play the rest of the ad right now,
uh-huh.
But what he does do is accidentally debunk his own narrative. This is really fascinating to watch.
Okay.
Just listen to this shit.
Actually, U.S. rep is threatening to pull an FCC license as if he could even do that. Now you've got the FCC saying they want to come in and manage news inside even print media. Talk about a power grab, even with the FCC chairman coming out saying it's a bad idea. So they're backing off of it for now. They did this last year as well. We're going to play this again just because he doesn't like it. While Julie Boonstra Dexter, Michigan, struggles to survive leukemia, she now has to cope with being called a liar by the Democrat who wants to be her next senator. And the campaign of Representative Gary Peters is also going after television stations airing ads in which her story is featured, threatening their licenses. That's right. The Examiner goes on to report the ad by Americans for Prosperity features the woman battling leukemia talking about how her insurance was canceled under Obamacare and saying Peter's decision to vote for the law jeopardized my health. No kidding. They admit it's kicking people off. The ads are airing in Michigan as Peters seeks the Democratic nomination to replace Senator Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan. So he wants to go from the House to the Senate, who is not seeking reelection. Media organizations investigating the ads claim note that she was able to find comparable new insurance under the law. The Washington Post fact checker blog gave the ad a two Pinocchios for Obama. Really, she didn't get the doctor she wanted and the treatment she wanted. What a bunch of bull. The point is, they said you wouldn't lose your doctor. And the bill said you would in many cases. They were liars. People just keep defending this Obamacare, man. Admit you're wrong. But in response, told the local Dexter local leader newspaper that though she has no idea whether she will break even with a new plan, a fact checker claims, the uncertainty of having to restructure her health care while coping with a deadly disease is damaging enough. Yeah, choose your own doctor. That's fundamental. People are asking me for the numbers, and I don't know those answers. That's the heartbreak of it all. And meanwhile, it's reported that he is threatening to have their FCC license pulled.
So, you want to know some truth?
Yes, I do.
So, that was a commercial, the one they played, the Julie Boonstra ad.
Yes.
It was put out by the Americans for Prosperity, which is a group that is fully funded by the Koch brothers.
Guess who?
Yeah.
I wonder why they would want to fund an anti-Obamacare ad.
They had a little bit of an issue. So, the first ad, they put out one ad.
Yes.
And the ad claimed that under Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, her insurance was now unaffordable. Unfortunately, people looked into it and saw the plans that were available in her area and found that her old plan cost $13,200 a year before copays.
No. Don't tell me that she pays less.
And other out-of-pocket expenses. The new plan is $11,952 a year, including copays and out-of-pocket expenses. That's a savings of more than $1,200 a year. So she actually would not have been...
But she didn't get to keep her own doctor, Dan.
Right. So here's the other thing.
Don't tell me that she was allowed to keep her own doctor.
She was.
God damn it, Dan!
It's just a different plan.
What are you talking about?
It's just a different plan.
So she would have been allowed to keep her own doctor and saved money?
According to fact checkers who looked at the available plans that were available under the Affordable Care Act, It would have been a slight hassle in order to shift your plans and what have you, but it's not that big a deal. It would have saved $1,200 doing it.
All right.
So the other thing
is... So she should probably have done that.
Mm-hmm. So here's the other problem with it, is the first ad claimed that it was unaffordable. And then these fact checkers looked at it and found it doesn't make sense that you would be claiming that it's unaffordable. So they made a new ad that said the new plan doesn't work for her, which is completely subjective.
Right.
And there's no way
to disprove. Of course.
Because they knew, oh, shit, we just lied. In that
yeah,
ad.
We just
it's
lied.
An unaffordable thing.
Yeah.
We just, maybe she didn't look into it or whatever. So Gary Peters wanted to get people to stop airing the ads, not because of some bias and some, like, praise Obama thing, but because they probably broke the Federal Trade Commission rules. And I'll just quote. If an advertisement such as this is likely to mislead consumers acting reasonably under the circumstances and is material that is important to a consumer's decision to buy or use the product, particularly when applied to ads that make claims about health or safety, that ad is in violation of federal law.
So you're saying that if she were to go on TV and claim that because the price of Cheerios went up, she is no longer able to afford healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the same thing as what she's doing right now.
Somewhat.
That would be lying directly.
Somewhat.
In order to influence people's health decisions.
Yes, somewhat.
Now, that is such a perfect example of the entire Republican system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they even got her to record an ad that was against her own interests,
mm-hmm,
by believing in the lies that they told her. The very Republican system is against the FTC commission or the FCC rules.
Yep. Absolutely.
Can we revoke all Republicans' TV?
Also, by the way, Julie Boonstra was once married to Mark Boonstra, a former chair of the Washtenaw County Republican Party.
Nay Richards. That's right. Mark Richards changed his name.
Raptors.
To Mark Boonstra.
Could be.
Astral projected himself into that area.
There's really no other alternative.
No. I think that's the truth. So, I think we figured that out.
I'm going to skip this next clip because we've kind of gone over it before. Alex just complains that all Democrats are racist and...
Of course.
It's like they're the party of racism.
I imagine he brings up the fact that Southern Democrats prior to the Civil Rights Act were racist.
He just says that they couldn't compete in the South, and so they started to race bait.
Yeah.
As opposed to all of the Southern Democrats, like Strom Thurmond, went over to the Republican side because the Democratic side was becoming much more progressive.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what the name of the thing is. That pledge that Strom Thurmond tried to get people to sign, exclusionary pledge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, be a racist forever pledge.
After schools got integrated, the whole, like, we're not going to go along with this shit.
Nope.
And then riot. And that kind of didn't work. And then a bunch of those people who signed that went over to the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So it's all a load of beef.
Which tacitly signed the "we're going to be racist forever" agreement.
Right. So here we go. Let's get into it because finally Alex gets some calls.
Okay.
And man, I'll tell you what. These are great.
Okay.
This is going to be one of my favorite things. You got to just let this play though.
Okay.
Don't be
Mic
interrupting.
Down. Mic down.
All right.
Those who are about to die salute you. Well, I'm about to be destroyed by these powerful intellects that are calling in to defend Obamacare. And so, drum roll, please, out of the gates is David from Louisiana. David, welcome. Thank you for calling.
You know, he's probably... Oh, hello, Alex.
Hi, go ahead. I missed the first thing you said. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. You say that Obama's bad and all that. I get some of his military policy. But this carbon thing, carbon dioxide isn't all too bad, but just because it gets cold here doesn't mean that the earth is not warming. You've seen in Russia record high temperatures for very long times. We haven't had freezes here in,
we had freezes in at least a week. You're right. It's terrible.
But before it'd be frozen most of the time, you look at the temperatures, they're still going
actually,
up.
Sir, that's not what all the ice core samples show. NASA even admits the Earth's been cooling for 17 years now. The sun's the main driver. Look, how does shutting down our power plants here that put out nothing but carbon dioxide and water and shipping the jobs to China, they open three new plants a week, we close three a week on average. How does doing that save the Earth if it's all one atmosphere?
You're lying.
It's all in one atmosphere.
You don't even understand what I just said. They're shipping the plants to Mexico and China. Texas has shut down dozens of plants, and they've opened them in Mexico totally dirty, shooting all the toxins into the air, the particulate, the mercury, everything. No scrubbers. You know what a scrubber is on a coal power plant?
Maybe.
Okay, well, if you go to China, it's just the power plant and a smokestack. You go here, there's all these big buildings built off. They send it all through the distillation. Nothing comes out but water and carbon dioxide. We get half our power from coal, or we did. Bullshit! Shutting that down is economic warfare. How is paying Al Gore a carbon tax? He's part of the company that globally gets the money. How does that save the Earth, sir?
Well, I guess it doesn't.
You really are an Obama supporter, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, we need some better access to health care.
Let me ask you a question. When did you have the brain injury? And I'm not making fun of folks here. I'm serious. You sound like you in a bad car wreck?
No, I'm not in a bad car
wreck. How did you hurt your head? You've had brain surgery, haven't you? What's wrong with you?
No, I haven't had brain surgery. I've just been under a lot of fluoride. I've been looking this stuff up, but I don't see German psychologists. I don't see Russian psychologists. I saw John Holdren saying that it would be a nice idea to reduce population, but I didn't see him actually saying
okay, so everything is awesome, everything is cool when you're part of the team. All right, I appreciate your call, man. I just don't know what to say anymore.
So that's the first call. That call was, that was fun.
I did not find that fun.
I love this version of Alex because I think that there is another reality wherein Alex, if he just could break free from the stupid ideology that he lives in and he just started going off on his callers, it would be amazing. Because his callers are dumb. He's
right.
Trained them to be really stupid.
Right.
And just believe whatever he says. I pivot the narrative this way. You come along with me. There is just a herd mentality among them. So when someone calls in who kind of disagrees with them a little bit about something, they're fucking stupid. And he can dance all over their face.
That's true.
Even though he's lying too.
Right.
But I like the idea, because I don't like his callers either. I like the idea that he's abusing them. It's great. He's being such an asshole.
He is being an asshole. I don't find that fun. I don't like his assholery being turned loose on real human beings.
I will say that
I like it to be diffused amongst all of his listeners as opposed to the full force of it funneled onto one poor man from Louisiana.
One head injury. The next call is not as fun.
What a dick.
The next call.
He's such a dick.
His assholishness in the next call is not nearly as fun because it's, you'll see why. It's very misogynistic. And it's still like, it's unbelievable on some levels, but
that was like watching an unarmed man get defeated. By a guy with an imaginary sword.
But at the same time, that one
like he just got convinced that sword is real, and he's like, I can't fight this sword. Oh no, it's not real, dude.
The one armed dude is still an info warrior, though, so I don't care.
That's a good point. I love that.
So
I guess I'm just under a lot of fluoride.
So also the idea that scrubbers do all that much.
No, it's just like a few guys. They scrub it.
No, I mean, they're
all the coal, when it comes out, they're like, ch-ch-ch-ch, and scrub it off.
Scrubbers are a real thing, and they can reduce to some extent.
I know. The idea
airborne
that they can,
pollution, right. It can get rid right. of some of it. But one side effect of scrubbing is the process only removes unwanted substance from the exhaust gases. It turns them into a liquid solution, solid paste, or powder form. This must be disposed of safely if it cannot be reused, which generally it cannot. Like mercury, you just end up running the risk of getting a bunch of toxic mercury that you've got to put in a landfill somewhere.
It's all water.
Right. Alex's concept of clean coal is just completely way off, and he's pretending that, you know, even just being able to say scrubbers, he's able to stump this idiot who's on the phone.
Yeah.
But he's not able to, I'm seeing this on the message board that everyone thinks this is a fake call. I don't think so.
No, I think that guy was kind of dumb.
I get the sense that,
Now, it could be just our prejudice that somebody with a southern accent like that being wrong is like, you're an idiot.
But I think he probably could have, I think he had some other things that were reasonable to say, reasonable points to bring up, like,
right.
The frosts not, coming, as frequently as they used to, the idea that John P. Holdren, his textbook doesn't say what Alex says
right.
it says.
Right.
If he wasn't getting talked over and screamed at by Alex, he would have been able to say some things that wouldn't have been stupid.
Right.
Alex made him into a stupid person through the way he used
him.
Rhetoric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
he
is
bullied
like,
him.
Which is why he's like, why won't anybody call in to debate me? It's because you act like that.
Right.
That's why I would never call in. I could, you know, bring up things that, no, you guys, I do not think it's fake.
We can only confirm it's fake whenever somebody says, well, first off, I really love Supermale Vitality. Anybody who plugs his shit. We're like, this is bullshit.
I think that it's even worse because I heard a call the other day where the guy was like, let me tell you, your shirts are great. Like, it's weird.
Your shirts are great.
So now we get to the next call.
They're made of a wonderful fabric.
It's all rayon.
American cotton.
It's
picked by, wait, I don't want to reveal.
So in this next clip, this is not the fun version of Alex being a dick, but man, is he a dick.
Okay.
Sherry in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Thank you. Listen, Obama goes along to get along, and the reason I wanted him to win.
That was a little disrespectful. You address him like Jamie Foxx addresses him. Go ahead.
I don't know how that is.
You know how he says it.
I'm not real political, Alex. I just know what I know for myself, and I'm going to share that. He goes along to get along, and that's why he's in power. If they didn't want him in power, the real oligarchies that run the show, they would not have him in there. They, you know, Ron Paul they shut out because he said it like it was. Perot, they threatened his family, and Perot said, I can't fight this. I'm going to have to withdraw from the race.
He was
Kennedy,
lying about
well,
that.
Well, he never
by the
got
way.
To say it all, did he? You know.
So, what's your bottom line on Obama?
Nobody threatened Perot's
My bottom
family.
Line with on Obama is it could be so much worse if it had been somebody else. He is willing to walk the tightrope and try to balance what the people can live with and what the oligarchies, what they now call the CEO oligarchy.
This sounds like mass Stockholm syndrome, or you're like, oh, he, you know, he's the abuser, but he's trying to take care of me. Oh, my gosh. Stay there. I'm going to come back to you in 60 seconds. Second hour coming up.
So he's not as mean yet, but he does suggest that she has Stockholm syndrome, which
right.
is really funny considering how much he does for Trump now with the like, look, he's not perfect.
Right.
He's not perfect, but he's the only one who can save us.
As uninformed as that lady was, I kind of like her take.
No,
I think she had a good take.
For an InfoWars caller, that was an
that
amazing
That was a solid
call.
Take. That was a solid take.
The idea that he is a compromise.
Yeah.
And the idea that if the powers that be didn't want him to be in power, he wouldn't be in power. I mean, that's a little paranoid and conspiracy theory-ish.
I think all of the available evidence would support her take. I want her to be president.
All right, she shall be. But before she does that, she's got
to
come
or at least a columnist for the Wall Street Journal. She would crush it.
Here we go. We're coming back from the commercial break. We'll see if he goes back to her. He does, and he's.
Thanks for ruining the mystery, Dan.
He does.
Let's see if he goes back to her. He does.
And he's so abusive.
Okay.
This is gross. Put the mic down.
Okay.
We are talking to those that have chosen Obama. And
not really.
I always find it's like some fascination. Like, I think he's secretly trying to help me. And that's why they put him in there, is because he's more
like
effective
in
making you think he's being reasonable while he slits your collective throat. But let's go to Sherry in Texas. Sherry, you've got the floor. Tell me about the man known as Cupcake Sweetie Pie Obama.
Well, I don't think he's, I don't think he wants to, he's slimy or mean. I think he just was willing to go along with those who are really running the show.
Well, obviously, and he's a puppet. We're talking about the
yes.
Let me tell you, how attracted are you right now to Obama? How much do you like Obama? What's going on right now?
Well, what's going on right now is that the people who are really in power, the oligarchies, okay, that's all, that's a good word for them, I guess. They run the show. They're the corporations. They want to lead the people in the direction that they want them to go, which means they want them to vote for someone like Romney or Bush.
No, they gave more money to Romney.
They want
whoever's the most effective BSer. Look, the establishment, the media, the establishment owns the big media, the dinosaur media. They want Obama. They'd let him get away with stuff 50 times what Nixon did because he's a darling cupcake.
No, I don't think so. I think the insurance.
I think you have a fetish for Obama. You've had it since he first ran. You won't admit you've been conned. Admit right now you like Obama.
All I know is that the insurers were in the business of denying claims.
What would you do if Obama wanted to date you?
Pardon me?
If Obama wanted to take you out on a date, what would you do?
Oh, come on. I'm not going to let you lead me in that direction now, Alex.
That's, I can hear your voice right now.
He's not. He's the only one. The people wanted him. They tried to keep him
you
out.
You want him?
That's what Jeb Bush did. He tried to get the whole state.
Hey, just because Jeb Bush is bad doesn't make Obama good. Don't you understand that?
Obama is keeping us out of war. Do you know how weary we are of war after these last 8 years?
And only our loving leader could expand them.
He just put his foot down on that issue. And he didn't write Obamacare. They just let some of his...
What is your nickname for him? What is your nickname for Obama?
My nickname for Obama? Someone who wouldn't lead us into war.
Sweetie Cake? Let me ask you this question. No, I get it. I understand. Like Bush was so bad. And I even thought Bush was so bad. I was kind of neutral on Obama and McCain because McCain's so bad that I thought maybe they were going to try to have reconciliation because the country's on the edge of rebellion. Instead, they brought him in and just Obama is one of the few things I was wrong about because I thought he was bad. I thought it was going to be bad. But all these people that I respect even more now said, no, he's going to be real bad and you're wrong.
Alex has been wrong about way more.
I've got to apologize.
Been wrong about Roy.
I am rarely wrong about big issues, and talk shows aren't supposed to say they've been wrong. I have underestimated the level of evil because he's got this spiritual shield of fraud around him. But once you get around that, my dear, believe me, he's the worst thing we've ever been hit by, and he's a closer, like in the ninth inning in baseball. They're trying to close things right now, and he's real bad. He's real bad.
Where did the Patriot Act come from, Alex? It didn't come on Obama.
It was bipartisan, and Obama expanded it.
Well,
the NDAA makes the Patriot Act look like a gift of liberty.
We need to identify the true enemy to solve the problems, and Obama's not the true enemy. He is a pawn, like you said yourself.
No, he's a luscious cupcake.
Enemy. He is just trying to keep us out of war.
Look, if Obama was a cupcake, what type of cupcake would he be? Is the real question.
Okay, whatever.
Seriously, what cup of cupcake? What cup of cupcake would he be?
I'm not going to say, Alex, because I'm not in that.
Because I can see a thought bubble right now. You see Obama equals cupcake. All right, I'm going to stop being silly. I appreciate your call.
That was not.
No, you were not being silly. You were being a fucking piece of shit.
That was amazing.
Wow.
That was amazing.
I have never seen anybody be that dismissive of a woman in front of me. I'm sure it happens all the time. All the time.
He thinks he's fucking...
Way worse than that.
He thinks
Jesus
he's fucking man-cow.
Yeah, what is Lycus he doing?
Or something.
God, and yeah. I like her. I think she's the smartest InfoWars caller I've ever heard.
And she handles herself quite well while he's being abusive to her.
No, she was awesome.
Yeah, being like, I'm not going to go down that road with you. Not being like, hey, shut the fuck up, you dumbass.
I'm a fan of hers.
But at the same, I mean, he wouldn't say those things to a guy.
Of course not.
That's so belittling. And he wouldn't engage with any of her arguments except for the ones that he already has preloaded lines ready to go for. With the NDAA, yeah, sure. That one in 2007 was a mess, and then it was undone in 2008.
Yeah.
So
also, let's not forget that Nixon sabotaged peace talks in order to win an election.
Right.
Thereby extending a war 4 more years than it needed to go, getting thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people killed who did not need to be killed.
Right.
all of the crimes Nixon committed. Like, what Nixon...
Does one of Alex's associates have a tattoo of that guy on his
back? I can't
think
of.
No.
I can't think of... what we got Nixon on was nothing compared to the crimes that he committed.
It's a Capone situation.
Nixon was fucked.
Yeah.
Nixon was fucked.
Yeah. So, I mean,
George W. Bush was worse.
I wanted to play that whole clip uninterrupted because,
I love
like,
her.
It's just... She handles herself with class and aplomb.
Yeah.
And then you have Alex being just like, you hot for Obama.
She
you're
crushed
hot,
it,
for,
man.
He's a horrible person.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he's a terrible debater. Like, he can't engage with any of her points, so the only thing he can go to is, oh, you want to fuck him.
Maybe that's why he glommed onto Trump so much, is because that's essentially Trump's debating style.
Just misogyny.
Yeah.
Just and attacks that.
Well, you saw the presidential debates.
Yeah. So we get to this, and by the way, so
nah, you're the one who's a stooge. You're the
no puppet.
You're the puppet.
No puppet.
You're
you
the puppet. If you could call Putin a cupcake, what would you call?
Yeah.
Why not just, like, he even engaged in that.
No, he said, Obama. But that's his, your sheep kind of thing.
Yeah, he's so shitty at this.
And she doesn't even seem to like Obama that much.
No! she's like, you know, I know you're complaining about Obama, but the real issue is the oligarchy. And I'm like, fuck yeah, lady, you're right on it.
And she didn't call them globalists.
No.
She called it the CEO
oligarchy.
Which is much more reasonable and doesn't have the...
Not as catchy as she thinks it is, but it's still pretty good.
And it doesn't have all the archaic anti-Semitism with the blood libel and shit that the globalists have attached to it.
No, so. Essentially her argument was unchecked capitalism is bad.
Right, but she wouldn't dare say something like that
in his
dojo.
No.
So he does get another caller.
Yeah.
And I have this one's a bit more fun because this guy's just dumb and Alex tees off on him.
Okay.
And it's we don't have to feel bad about him being a piece of shit because someone's a woman. And we can like not just because he's being mean to a woman. He's being mean in specific ways because she's a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what to be more specific about.
For somebody who is so fake obsessed with being honorable and treating women appropriately.
Chivalry.
You're not good at it.
Maybe
you should treat them as people.
If Sherry had been saying a bunch of really stupid stuff and he started yelling at her and calling her an idiot,
yeah,
that's the same way he's treating all these dudes.
Yeah.
And that would be like, hey, all right.
Instead of like, hey, you want to fuck Obama, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, you want to fuck Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. You're not a human being with thoughts or feelings. You're just thinking with your fuck
stick. You're just wet, like Megyn Kelly is for Putin.
Yep.
This one is just a guy who's stupid and Alex gets mad at him and it's real fun.
Okay.
Ted in Tennessee, come on down. Tell me how I'm wrong. Go ahead.
All right, Alex, are you really ready for this?
Come on.
Come on, talk,
or I'm going to cut you off.
Okay. Now, Obamacare, you got to look at it, is very simple. There's 310 million people that don't get a vote in anything. Those are the people that have a health insurance policy that's provided by their employer. You have another 26 to 40 million people who don't get a vote in any.
So at this point,
how many people does he think are actually in this country?
We're going to get to that. But Alex, at this point, while the guy is still talking, Alex is darting his eyes around the room like, are you fucking
is this guy
me?
Fucking with me?
Are you guys fucking?
Are you guys fucking
are you
with
guys
me?
Hearing this?
310 million people have.
Work insurance
through their employer.
That would have to include babies. But be that as
that would have to include all the babies.
So, that's why Alex hasn't butted in yet, because he's like,
let's let this ride.
It's like, what the fuck?
I want to hear what math we've got going on here.
Anything. Those are the people that are.
Did you say 315 million people have health care provided by their employer?
Pardon?
There aren't 315. You say
there are 310 million people that have health insurance provided by their employer.
No, they're not.
They do not get a vote.
There's 315 million people in the whole country. There's about 100 million.
No, there's 300.
Put him on hold. I can't listen to this. These people are so dumb. Listen, there's about 110 million people that have health care provided by their employer, and they pay for it. It isn't free. There's 315 million people in the country, counting 25 million that are illegal aliens.
All right.
That's the census. Go back to him. I'm not trying to be mean. Go ahead and make your point.
Okay, there's 310 million people that have health insurance provided by their employer.
No, there's not. 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 98% of the American people are not covered by their employers with health insurance. That is BS, man. There's 35 million uninsured in the country.
Between 1 and 3% that cannot be accounted for. Those are between 3 and 9 million people, which has been expanded to 15. They cut in half is 7.5 million. That's what they want to put on the Affordable Health Care Act. Are we ready to talk about this thing?
Sir, do you understand that the insurance companies wrote the plan, the big ones, to shut down their competition and jack up prices?
You have a ticket that says you're going to win at a 30-1 odds.
First of all, I love that moment where he's like, I'll listen to this.
I'm fascinated by this dude's math.
Because Alex is pissed off at, like, all these numbers meaning nothing, so he throws out that insurance company line that he that's one of his normal things.
Right.
And then the guy being like, you have a card with 30-1 odds. He's like, there's, you can see in his face, like, he's so fucking over it. But then, like, I'm listening.
All right. Let's see where this goes.
There's like 15 seconds left of this, and the way he ends the call is the fucking funniest thing ever.
Okay.
And then you go and buy the health day at horse care ticket. But if everybody in the stands votes for or takes that same bet, that bet's going to go down to 1-for-1.
You're totally helpless.
For once, Alex, you and I agree unequivocally. No fucking strings attached. Alex, you and I are 100% on board together.
I don't know what horse care means.
I get it. Horse care. That if you get injured, you get shot. If you get injured, they put you down.
So he's not actually a fan of Obamacare.
He's not a fan of Obamacare.
Doesn't seem like he is.
No. He's not a fan of math.
But then, like, Alex cannot, like...
Roughly 1 to 3% cannot be accounted for. Now, that's 3 to 9 million.
You're helpless.
Call that 15 million, cut it in half.
Oh, God.
That's 7.5 million.
Oh, God, that makes me laugh so hard.
I will remember that sentence until I die.
I love...
When all is lost, except for D'Angelo songs... And that sentence, I will die.
I love this Alex so much. Like, the Alex who's right there. He's on the cusp of being like, what the fuck have I done?
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to do that because he's presenting it as these callers are Obama supporters.
Right.
Not his listeners.
Right.
They're his listeners. Most of them don't support Obama.
Right.
That last caller didn't. Sherry, who he... abused for being a woman, she didn't really support Obama either.
No.
The first guy, unclear what he was talking about, because Alex kept turning him into an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, it was unclear what his position was, but he did say he supported Obama, so it's 1 out of 3 at this point have been Obama supporters, but all three have been Alex Jones listeners.
Okay, pitch. Here's our new show. We turn Alex into a force for good, wherein Alex does nothing but take calls and just shits all over his listeners.
I would love that if that, like, because I don't necessarily think he deserves some sort of horrible punishment for the things he's done. But I think it would...
I think that's a solid penance.
I think it would be fun to make him, like, be a part of the private prison industry, like, because he should go to jail.
Right.
So put him in one of these private prisons, and he can work for $1 a day taking phone calls from his dumbass listeners, and we can listen to it.
He gets $1 every phone call he takes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But the phone calls have to be at least 3 minutes.
Right. Yes. Yeah, there has to be restrictions on this.
And he lets the caller expound on whatever they want.
Whatever they want.
Just watch him get so mad.
And he has to listen to it.
What have I done? It's like he's close to that moment, but he never gets
there. We spent so long asking if we could. We didn't ask if we should.
So he gets another call from a guy who doesn't like Obama and actually just wants to hook him up with a Sandy Hook researcher.
Okay.
And so here's the end of that call.
So it looks real bad. I agree with you. We need to get him on.
Yeah, he needs exposure.
Do you have his contact info?
Yes. His voicemail is full.
Oh, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. See, the listeners can get these people. I want him on about Sandy Hook. You're going to get the number right now. We'll get him on. Yeah, no, he's investigating up in Connecticut, and they're after him. And they're threatening him, and they're trying to block any release. Because let me tell you something. Sandy Hook was staged,
folks. Give me his number.
So Sandy Hook was staged.
Sandy Hook was staged. He did not start a debate.
No, it was not a debate. He's just straight up, it was staged. So, in the interest of fairness, I don't have all the calls that he took because a couple of them were completely nonsensical. Like one of them.
As opposed to 310 million? One wasn't completely nonsensical?
One of them, so there were two I cut out. Actually three. Because one is a guy calling about how socialized medicine works. And he's like, Canada is great. What about, these Nordic countries? They don't seem to
be doing all right.
And they don't have any, total difference from us. And he's like, well, they have higher morals. So like, you're just saying more white. That's all probably right. What you're saying about, I think that's what he's getting at. But the call was too short and it was, it wasn't a good argument and Alex just sort of ducks.
Yeah.
So, then there's just two other people who don't really like Obama at all, and they just wanted
to be on the show.
Just want to talk to him.
Yeah.
So, but we have one more call to listen to, and man. Alex thinks this guy disagrees with him about Obama. He disagrees about something else, and it's weird.
Okay.
David in Arizona, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, Alex. Thank you. I disagree with you in several ways. Before I get to one of those, I noticed that you challenged Piers Morgan to a bare knuckles match, and you also challenged the two cops that killed Kelly Thomas.
And yeah, they think they're so tough. I'll get bare knuckles in Las Vegas in a ring with them. I'm not kidding.
I'll take you. I'll take you. I will take that challenge.
Are you one of those people?
No, I'm not one of those people, but I'll stand in for them. Okay. I'll take
well, that wouldn't get any promotion or make any money for charity.
So now, much like when that guy said there's 310 people, 10 million people in America who have insurance through their employers, Alex is looking around the room like, what the fuck is going on? Who are these people? This guy's calling. I said I wanted to fight those three people. Do you understand? It's for press. I don't actually want to fight these people.
Yeah.
It's the same thing he did with Cernovich. Or right. Cernovich and Tom Arnold, the whole thing.
Tom Arnold would have beat the shit out of him.
And Cernovich and Tom Arnold fight lumped in Alex Jones a bit, and the two of them were both cowards and backed out. Alex wouldn't have followed through, even fighting Piers Morgan, probably. No.
Which he should have done. Everybody would have loved seeing both of them get their asses beat. Yeah.
But this caller is, I like the spirit of it, just being like, I'll fight you. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
No, we're off to a good start.
But Alex's confusion is merited, I think.
Okay, well.
If you called in and, okay, so you disagree with me with Obama by saying you want to beat me up.
I'll do it.
No. That's okay. If you don't want to fight me, that's okay.
But yeah, I'm scared of you. I'm scared.
I disagree with you in several ways. First of all, you talk about Jesus and you say that you're a Christian. Jesus dictated the solution to the problem that we're in the book of Revelation, throughout the whole Bible, really. But in Revelation, he boils it down to three verses, okay, in Revelation 13. He tells us very clearly that the papacy is the first beast of Revelation 13. The papacy is responsible for 150 million deaths. In its 1,260-year reign.
Okay. Malaria?
Now, Revelation 13 says that the second beast will have all the power of the first beast.
Now, caller, here's my issue with you. I said call in and defend Obamacare.
So I want to be clear. That's what he did say at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, he's like, if you just disagree with me about anything, let's.
Yeah.
Because not enough people were calling in.
Right.
So anyway, he's trying to pretend there's like, I just wanted to talk about Obamacare when he's lying.
Let's get into some revelations.
And you lied. You didn't call in to defend Obamacare. You want to beat my brains out because I'm not anti-Catholic. Let's just be honest about it.
That you wanted people to disagree across the board, and that's what I am.
I guess later I said the next wave. Okay, so and you believe I secretly am a Catholic priest, right?
No, I don't.
You think I sprout wings at night like the bat? And
let me talk.
Go ahead.
You are hiding the solution. The solution is in Revelation 13. We're not supposed to use a name or a number.
I'm hiding it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're hiding it because are you still paying taxes? Yes, you are. Are you going to take taxes from your employees?
Well, that is the literal render unto Caesar. Like, who's on this coin? It's Caesar. This is that system. And I say it's the mafia and the private Federal Reserve. I am for paying taxes to our real federal government, not to the private Federal Reserve, but I choose my battles. And I don't tell my listeners, don't go pay income taxes when they could end up being put in prison. I don't give people advice that I wouldn't do myself.
Yeah. Says that they were going to, Jesus says they will put you in jail for following Jesus. I'm saying follow Jesus. Yes, Jesus says they will put you in jail. You said, how will you judge them? By their fruit. If the government will put you in jail for not worshiping the government, Jesus tells you that's exactly what they're
all
doing.
Right.
So then he's just like, the guy, I mean, I was crazy.
I was having fun for a second there, and then I got very bored very quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The guy is Looney Tunes, but at the same time, his logic is much better than Alex's, because it is. Jesus does say that you will be persecuted for following me, that sort of thing. And Alex all the time says, you'll know a tree by its fruits.
Right.
He quotes that all the fucking time. He used it as one of the greatest justifications why he supports Trump. And so the idea...
And if you want to talk about saying, I would never tell my listeners to not pay taxes, you have many times had the son of a guy who said, don't pay taxes.
Yeah, and talked about how Irwin Schiff, who you're referring to, Peter Schiff, his son, who's on the show all the time, is like a political prisoner. And a martyr, and he was murdered by the state.
Yep.
If you believe those things, then you have to believe that...
You shouldn't pay your taxes.
Right. And the idea that you don't tell your audience to do things that you don't do yourself. Horseshit.
Yeah.
Horseshit. So anyway.
Yeah, Alex. You don't buy any of your own products.
I have one more clip, but before we get to it, I completely forgot to play the out of context drop.
Soon, I'm going to take my shirt off, folks.
Yeah.
Now is a great time for that.
That is Alex Jones' most accurate prediction to date. That is great. Pretty soon, I'm going to take my shirt off. So this is the last clip that we have. This is after Alex is done talking to these really frustrating callers. His assessment is a little weak, but here you go.
Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, it's the final segment. Man, how depressing talking to Obama supporters. They want to beat me up. I'm a secret Vatican operator. Obama's going to save us. I mean, this is a real headache.
Oh, poor guy. So in that, he just misrepresented the callers we just listened to.
Yep.
The guy didn't say he was a secret Vatican operator.
Nope.
The guy didn't say he wanted to beat him up. He just said, hey, you were looking
you
to fight.
I'll fight.
I'll stand in front of those people.
Yeah.
I'll fight you. And none of them really said that Obama would save us.
And all of them, save for our bright star of the evening, mm-hmm. were stupid.
Yes. Or I think that that guy talking about the religious stuff, he probably was pretty smart, but he's nuts.
I disagree.
I think there's probably high-functioning brain power there, but he's nuts.
Oh, okay.
That one of those sort of things. I think there's a...
Okay.
Because he is using decent logic, using pieces of Alex's mythology and religion as he understands it. That's not necessarily stupid as much as it is misguided.
Let's agree to disagree on this one.
Okay.
Here's my posit to you. Imagine our heroic woman saying to Alex... Let me talk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever Crazy Dude said it, Alex, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Alex had a good 5 seconds where he let him talk, and he just kind of shut down.
Well, of course.
If she had done that, would he have done the same thing?
He would have freaked out.
Right?
Yeah, he would have left the studio.
Yeah, he would have been like, I won't ever allow a woman to talk to me this way.
I'm guessing it's a side effect of supermale vitality. You know, some sort of thing where it's like... You know, I think that lets him off the hook. I can't get talked to by women like that.
I think that's a...
Well, of course he's a super misogynist.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to hear the Daddy Shark clip in the chat room.
Well, then donate!
Well, there's that. That's one option.
I'm not doing that.
If you vamp for a second, I'll find it. If you guys want to send an email.
Now, let's get into the real meaning of Revelations. Since it is Christmas week, what I want to talk about is, okay.
If you guys want to send an email to knowledgefight@gmail.com, I can send you the MP3 of it so you can have it for yourself. But I shouldn't do that. I should sell that.
Yeah, we have to sell that as a ringtone. Are you shitting me?
I don't know, man. Look, I don't have the wherewithal or the willpower to be like, I'm going to hold this hostage.
Also, I don't think we can sell it. There's definitely some copyright issues there.
I don't give a shit. Alex doesn't respect map agreements.
All right.
No.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I guess I can't really sell it, so here you go.
You know, they got Baby Shark, deet, 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 deet. They got Mama Shark, beep, 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 beep. Daddy Shark, bomb, 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 bomb.
So anyway, if you want a copy of that, send an email to knowledgefight@gmail.com. Also, just our website, knowledgefight.com, is where you can find all sorts of stuff. All of this year, I've been thinking about it, dude. We've done like 120 episodes of this show. We've recorded 250, 300 hours of content.
Probably.
And that reflects...
We've written thousands upon thousands upon thousands of words.
And that reflects, like, even just the 300 hours of recording, let's say. That reflects 600 hours of editing and research and those sorts of things.
Right.
You consider that adds together to be about 900 hours of work over the course of the year. That's 40 hours a week.
Is that 40 hours a week?
It might be 4 hours a week.
That's about 40 hours a week, isn't it?
I don't know how to do math. Let's say there's 50 weeks in a year. 900 divided by 50?
That's 40.
That's like 6.
It's not 6.
Yeah, no, it's 18. I don't know how to do math. Anyway, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Nah. The point being, you work full time, goddammit.
But that's not even the point I wanted to get at. I was reflecting at how much time we've taken and how much we've jumped in.
Yeah.
And delved through these sickening waters.
And no matter how much, there's always going to be the part of us that's like, ugh, not enough people are paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that
that's my secondary thought. A number of people who've listened to us talk about Alex Jones for 300 hours in the last year. And it's crazy to me, and I really appreciate it. We're pretending this is going to be the last episode of the year now, but it might not be. Who knows?
I don't know if we can go a week and a half without doing an episode. Now there's a certain part of it that's like, I get an itch if we haven't recorded long enough.
Sure, sure. Don't give people my address far out. before this chat room...
Give them his phone number, goddammit!
Before this chat room devolves into doxing of me, I just thank you very much to everybody who listens and to everybody who supports the show and donates. I mean, it makes a huge difference, and I never would have thought that anyone would give a fuck about this show. I thought we'd be doing it for nobody, and granted, we're not doing it for as many people as should be, but we're still way more than I expected.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. Don't give out my address, Nick!
We love you all so very much, except for Nick and Farout.
The two friends of
mine. Nick and Farout are gone!
They're gonna dox me. Also, just a fair warning, next year we will be retiring the Sasha Banks theme song as the intro music to the show for the live streams. And I have a new song we'll be debuting. So shout out to the legit boss. Big ups. Thanks for taking us along on this ride. We just, you know, gotta, you know, 2018 gotta come with the new.
All right.
Also,
burn down rich people's homes.
You sure?
What? Huh?
Also, we should probably get rid of this fuck you, John Rappaport thing, you know?
We should. That's got to be retired.
Either that or we got to re-up on hating him.
We haven't listened to John Rappaport for like 4 or 6 months.
Don't fucking say we. I've listened to him.
I was talking about me and the listeners, goddammit.
Yeah, I've listened to him and it's just still boring.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to reflect on that. Maybe we'll choose a new InfoWars personality to really hate in the John Rappaport. Maybe we'll go to Mark Dice or something like that.
I don't want to hear his voice.
No, that's true. It's difficult.
Now I'm kind of in on hating Jerome Corsi. Listening to his voice makes me want to kill him.
Okay. Maybe we'll do a deep...
Politically.
Maybe we'll look into Jerome Corsi a little bit closer. Yeah. And end every show telling him to fuck himself. I don't know.
I think he can go fuck himself.
Certainly, but for now, at least.
And he's far enough away that we know he won't challenge us to a fight.
Oh, also, we're on Twitter, knowledge_fight. We're on Facebook. We're on iTunes. All of those sorts of things. We thank you for subscribing and blah, 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 blah.
Yep, go to the website, click support the show, etc.
Yep. For now, though, as it is still 2017, it is our want to be able to say, John Rappaport, go fly a kite, first of all. Go suck a lemon. I think that's an expression.
You can't fly a kite.
Whilst sucking a lemon?
No, he can't fly a kite. He's not allowed to leave that attic.
I have no proof he has legs. Only seen him sitting down. Which actually is probably true for some of our listeners and viewers. You at least have a wider angle where people can see your legs.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't have legs. Who knows?
All right, Dan.
Maybe me and John Rappaport have that in common. And if that is the case,
you're getting rambly at the end of this episode.
I feel that he's
getting
doing
a little rambly.
Job of representing us possibly legless people.
Trying
and
to end
for
this
that,
show.
I will say, John Rappaport, please go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.